What's up, everybody? Richard from True Shot back today with the 41st episode of the True Shot Guest Spot Podcast. My guests today, Nolan and Kevin of the band Heirloom. Now, these are some guys that I've known for a little bit, just kind of, you know, through Facebook and stuff like that. But then I saw that they're going to be playing Blue Ridge Rock Fest with us. And, you know, very talented band. But not only that, you know, their producer is Chris Davis of The Ghost Inside. So very intriguing stuff kind of going on with these guys, and I wanted to have them come on the podcast so we can discuss it all right here. So, without further ado, here are Nolan and Kevin of Heirloom.
I thought it was said you can't serve two masters, yet you call me the master sword.
Nolan and Kevin of Family Heirlooms. How's it going?
Heirloom Tomato Incorporated.
So, guys, I can't help. Every time I'm like doing one of these podcasts, and here goes my cat trying to get on my desk, because I told you off air. He's trying, man. He's like, the guy's an heirloom. But whenever I'm doing one of these, I'm always interested in like what's happening in the background. So there's a lot happening here. There's a lot to kind of.
I fucking told you.
I put a little lights on.
Well, Kevin is the photographer boy, so he got the proper lights and the whatever the fuck is that, the amps and everything.
Yeah, usually these podcasts, these people are like in what looks like a jail cell or like a bunker, and it's like, I don't even know where I'm like, are you okay? Like, do you need to call somebody? But this is a nice room, a nice setup. We got, so is that a Spite? What is it? Oh, Pabst. It's a Spite shirt and Pabst.
Yeah, we got Spite. Yeah, we got Spite. This is a we got a moth shirt.
Okay, and then what are those bottles in the back? What's going on over there?
A lot in the back. We got some. Then there's a poster that says Heirloom Family Tomatoes Incorporated.
Hell yeah! And
if you ask us what's in the background, it'll very quickly become a rig rundown.
Yeah,
all of our amps and everything is back here.
Which, you know, Adam's not here, so you'll
That'll be Chinese to me. I mean,
my new X-53 Pokemon, whatever.
I just show up with a microphone and call it a day, you know? I mean, that's about the extent of mine.
Is he going to be here tonight?
Who, Adam?
Right. That's all I do, dude.
Yeah, I think we have a little bit of a delay. Yeah, no Adam tonight. It's just me. So those bottles, what are those on the top shelf? Is that an adult beverage, or we got some hot sauce? What's going on?
So what those are, our drummer's dad has worked in like the beer industry for a while. So a lot of those are just like these old collectible big like beer bottles that he's gotten over the years. Gosh. Like there's like there used to be like this container with like a Budweiser hat that was signed by like Budweiser himself and all this other shit. So that's like the remnants of it. We used to have the drums back here.
Yeah.
So we had to take a bunch of shelves out to move the drums there. Cause this is like the practice room. So everything's kind of shimmied around over and over again.
Yeah. We like, this started as just like a game room, like an auxiliary kind of family room, like just for like playing Xbox or whatever. And then once they formed the band and everything, they started just having the band practice here. And then a few months ago, they started like sound. You can't see all this, but we have like soundproofing stuff everywhere and like doomsday windows. Like he our drummer's dad built like these like wooden panels to like fit over the windows so that we don't get any like noise complaints from the neighbors or anything.
Yeah, and if there's a fire, you can't escape. So you know it's
exactly
the last stop for you guys. No,
man, but your riffs are always, you know, catching stuff on fire.
Yeah, bro, I'm laying heat all the times.
Even if he doesn't know what it is, he just like sounds fucking cool. I don't know what the fuck it is.
You're right, exactly. So what is this Heirloom Family Tomato? What's going on with that? Well, you said that a couple times. I got to know what that is.
No, so whenever we first like announced everything, you know how like everybody, like if you're in a band and you have some sort of name, like people always find it some sort of joke to make. And we were like, whenever we were first rolling everything out, we were like, we didn't even think of Heirloom Tomatoes being like a joke. But as soon as we were like, all right, we're Heirloom, this is our first song, blah, 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 blah. Like so many people were like, oh, Heirloom Tomatoes. And
tomato,
I'm like,
tomato.
Yeah, it was like tomato emojis and like all this like weird meme shit and stuff. And then like my cousin sent like
sent me something. It's like, oh, look, I got heirloom. And I didn't even know that heirloom tomatoes were a thing. They're like,
yeah, it's like a type of tomato.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that like extends to a bunch of different produce. Like it'll be like heirloom carrots.
Yeah.
Heirloom potatoes. It's like,
I didn't even know they were a thing until we fucking started the band and came out with everything. And I was like, damn it. We have a joke now with our band. We didn't get off easy.
How can I market this?
Yeah, exactly.
That's so bizarre. Like I don't even know what that is. Maybe it's just, I don't know if in the Northeast, it's just, I have no idea what that is. That's like way over my head.
I think it is. Yeah. If you haven't heard of it, then there probably is.
Yeah, I definitely have never heard of that. So, like, when you said that, I was like, oh, is this...
You're like, what the fuck is this guy talking about, dude?
Yeah, well, like, my dad, like, big into gardening, so I'll go with him to the nursery all the time, and it's just like, it'll just say heirloom this on, like, flowers and shit. I'm like, what is about this that makes it this?
Yeah. You know? And there's, like, a coffee shop in Raleigh called, like, Heirloom Coffee or something, and we've had people, like, send us pictures and be like, oh, look at this, dude, it's like heirloom. And I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, I think the name heirloom is really cool. I think it's a different kind of name, and so I know this is kind of a lame ass question. I hate to ask these usually, but like I just got to know like where that name comes from, because I never asked this question, but this is an exception to the rule, because this is a unique band name.
Okay, yeah.
So previously, myself, our bass player Austin, and our drummer Nick. We used to be in like an easy core kind of band, like okay. That kind of stuff. And after a while, we were like, you know, look, we just keep doing this heavy stuff and it keeps getting progressively more metalcore. Maybe we should just start doing heavy music. And we kind of sat around and we started firing off names. And Heirloom was in the mix of a bunch of names. I think the other one was like Stillborn, I had at one point. Like a counterpart song that I liked at the time, and Heirloom is just kind of stuck for a while. So when we were starting this, I was like, I want to be called Heirloom. And we, you know, we looked, and there are other heirlooms out there. They're not like us, but you know, they do exist. So it's, but I was like, no, this is what I want this band to be called,
right?
You know, so
there's no other there's no other metal bands named Heirloom.
Yeah, but like, it's if like you gospel band.
Yeah, if you look on like Spotify or Pandora or whatever, you'll see like sometimes our music on like Amazon or some of these other sites that aren't like Spotify and Apple will kind of mix it in with like an indie band called Heirloom and like a gospel band called Heirloom, and then there's like a folk band called like The Heirlooms or something like that. But we're the only metal band that has that's called Heirloom. You know, it's not like one of those, it doesn't sound like a metal band name, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like when, you know, when I started listening to like that band called Fox Lake, you know, yeah, you guys were like, that sounds like an indie band kind of thing.
I thought,
you know?
Fox Lake was going to be an indie band, but it turns out they're like the heaviest shit in the world.
Yeah, they're an interesting band, like with the hip-hop elements very strongly there, but also just super heavy, like hardcore style stuff, if I'm remembering.
The first time I heard them, I was gassed. I was like, this is it. This is all I've listened to for like the longest time.
Yeah.
I definitely was a Punisher for a minute. And then they shouted us out when we put Accuser out. And I was just like, let's go.
It's like, oh, my friends now. Like,
no, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. Well, so what you guys need to do next is assert your dominance and copyright the name and then sue everybody else. I mean, that's
the
thing.
We're
the
LLC.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we are an LLC.
Yeah. We have an LLC now. We don't have a trademark though. So we need to trademark the name.
Ooh, you're right.
Dude, I would sue the gospel band.
It's in the brain.
You have to start with the gospel band so people know it. Oh, these dudes are not messing.
These dudes mean business, dude.
Yeah.
They're taking money from the church.
Call your lawyer in the church. Like, where, just assert that dominance, you know? But okay, I think that's a really cool. Go ahead.
Oh, no, nothing.
I was just going to say, I just think that that's a really cool background, because it's a much better background than us, who we were going to be called Rare Form, which then I realized is an After the Burial album.
It's funny you say that, because like a few years ago, I had a like internet project, and that was one of the names that I thought of was Rare Form.
Yeah.
But then I looked it up and I was like, that's a little, I don't know if I could get away with that, you know, like.
Yeah,
playing shows, people would be like, you know, that's an After the Burial album.
Exactly. I mean, now I think, you know, like we get jokes for our name as well. They'll be like, True shot, more like zero shot. I'm like, oh my god, dude, you're hilarious. That's a good one.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
did that joke take you a while? Like, come on. Dude,
I mean, listen, I know that you're a former stand-up comedian, so maybe you know you can rank this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. former is key.
Well, so I definitely want to talk to you about that because I think former is key. Because so I'm interested. Like, was that like? Like you ended that to join the band, or were you just like, fuck, man, I ain't funny?
Well, a little bit of both, really.
No, I'm kidding, of course. I'm kidding.
Stand up is really intimidating because it's like just you. Yeah. Like, there's not really like, all right, this is the next song or something. It's just like, if you say something that's not funny, then it's just like, all right, fucking crickets, you know? I've been in more to stand up and like comedy and like wanting to do like acting and stuff probably more before I wanted to like join a band and stuff. Like, I think I did like my first stand up set was at like my eighth grade talent show. Oh, and like, I just did stuff like that. Just like I would do like school talent shows and just like rip on my teachers or do some shit like that. Or like do like impressions of like just really like in-house kind of shit. But I didn't start like doing club stuff until like 2017. I went to Charlotte to the Comedy Zone and did an open mic. Oh, good. And I did a few others, and they're fun. I don't want to get into the whole story here, but long story short, I lived out of my car for a while, and I lived in Denver, Colorado, just left in my car, and I would just go on there. Like, they have a website for like, it's like 5280comedy.com or something like that, and just had a list of like weekly open mics and would just like go. And some were fun, some were, you know, not so good. But yeah, whenever I joined up with the band here, I still did it on occasion, but I was definitely trying to take the band stuff more seriously because I had been in bands before that had like almost made it, quote unquote, you know?
Yeah.
But it has been so long. As soon as this band, like I joined up with them and it started to kind of pick up, I was like, hyper focused in, like, I don't really want another like side hobby or anything. Like, I make the joke all the time, like, I just do stand up at our shows, like in between songs, you know. So it's like I just combine the two. But yeah, that's kind of a condensed version, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. So like, Kevin, I guess from your vantage point, like between you and me, okay, pretend he's not there, is he funny or like or what's going on here?
He definitely has a better sense of how to keep the crowd interested.
Okay.
For sure. You know, all the rest of us are more like to ourselves whenever we're like on stage and not playing song. Like it so it's good to have a frontman who is good with people.
Yeah.
You know?
so he's not funny is what you're telling me.
Yeah. No, he's hilarious.
Yeah, for sure. What's up, dude? This is Mike, our other guitar player. He's just kind of hanging out.
What's up, Mike?
Oh.
Yeah, I like that, dude. Oh, I love that.
Because I guess, as I told you before the call. Richard, yeah, it's Richard from Two Shot.
Richard, what's up, bro? Tupac, damn.
Two Shot.
Yeah. Dude, I am Tupac. Yeah, see, there we go. Yeah. I never heard that one before.
God damn it, dude. Just get your shit and get out of here. yeah, we got a new song dropping at midnight, so we invited some friends over, and there's a fucking party happening downstairs with lots of White Claws and various beers. And we got a little tipsy, and then we're like, oh shit, we got to do this thing at 9:30. So we snuck up here, and now here we are. You're loaded, man. You got everything.
He's ready to go. Everybody and their fucking mother asked me to grab them a drink when I came over here.
All right.
Water only, Mike.
Get out of here, bro.
Yeah, Mike, water only. Water only. No, no.
Water only, yeah.
Water only.
Because you are straight edge, right?
I guess, yeah. Like, I just, I've never.
You don't like do the yeah. XC shit, but you're like, you don't drink and smoke or anything. Yeah,
I don't like physically assault people who are drinking. Like,
yeah, like, no, I'm not someone like, smoking a cigarette, just like, yeah. Just
punching them in the face immediately. No, not like that. But no, I don't personally. But yeah. So this new song that you have coming out tonight, how do you pronounce? Now I don't know how to pronounce. Is it Lation? I think of it as like a Mortal Kombat character when I read it for some reason.
It's a Leshen.
Leshen, okay.
Yeah.
Now,
and
I'll go ahead.
So the way that name came about is around the time that we were writing that song, I was really invested in the game in Witcher 3.
Okay.
And literally, as we were like wrapping up, we have a whiteboard back here where we write down all of the like the titles of our new songs that we've been writing, just so we can remember them. And everyone's like, all right, like, what do we call this? And as they were asking that, I was fighting a Leshen in that game. So I was like, just put Leshen on there. And it's just, it has stuck since.
Yeah.
And
because that was the pre-pro title, and then we kept it as the real title.
Yeah, it was just like, all right, I mean, this works, you know?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
So why would we change it? And it's just stuck since then. But it's Leshen.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess the next important question, how long is the song?
It is under 3 minutes. It is your ballpark, bro. It's literally
five,
like,
stars immediately.
Yeah, exactly. It is it's like 2:57 or some shit like that. So
I love it. I love to hear that.
I noticed the trend with the last few singles we've been releasing. We didn't do this on purpose, but I just kind of noticed it looking at like our Spotify stuff and like the timestamps. And I was like, dude, the songs we're releasing are like progressively shorter. Because like Heart and Spine was like almost 4 minutes, and then Accuser was 3:20, and then Leshen is 2:57, and then the next song we're gonna put out is like the same length. It's like under three minutes.
And then like the next one after that is long.
And then the next one after that is like 5 minutes, but it's like two parts. Yeah. It's like an interlude and then like a big kind of theatrical kind of track.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Man, I don't know. I just I don't know, because Kevin, I know that you're a guitar player, so I don't know if it's maybe just a me thing, or maybe it's a vocalist thing. Maybe Nolan can attest to this too, but I don't know, man, there's something about just the shorter songs that are just in and out. It's just like eating different flavors of ice cream. Like, I want to have some mint chocolate chip, then I want to go to the vanilla bean. I don't want to just keep eating mint chocolate chip all night long.
Right. Yeah.
I guess does it serve the song better to be longer, or exactly, does it serve the song better to be shorter?
Right.
That's what matters. Like the one we were talking about where it's like almost 5 minutes is called Helm's Deep, and it's a very, like you said, very theatrical, kind of very storyline driven song. So it's like it makes sense for it to be longer. Whereas like Leshen, if we made it longer, then it's just like, all right, well, now I've heard everything.
It almost was longer. Remember we cut out a lot of it.
Yeah, we
that
did.
That song was the most stressful.
Yeah. Because we so by the time this episode's out, the song will be out where it drops out again after like the second chorus. We kept trying to write a breakdown there because it's like, okay, we're a metalcore band, we need a breakdown.
We need a breakdown. Yeah.
And it took like 3 nights of just grueling over the fucking song, like passing guitar over and over. Like JT from Arrow was brought in to like try to help out with it. Nothing worked.
So we recorded with Chris from The Ghost Inside, and he played in he played in Texas in July before.
Yeah.
And literally, he's sitting there just having like the biggest crisis because he's like, I don't know what to put here. And then, like, he literally FaceTimes JT, and JT is like in the middle of like
bingo.
He's in the middle of bingo night at like this bar that he works at. And he was just like, hey, bro, I need you to name me like 3 of the heaviest breakdowns you've ever heard. And he names them, and then he goes back, and then like Chris is just like, it's not good enough.
Like nothing works. Nothing works.
We tried everything, and then finally we just repeated what's like kind of brought the
hook.
Repeated the hook from the first part, and it fits a lot better. But Kevin was like, this is what I was trying to tell you to do in the first
like not that long, like in the first day, because it was 3 days of us trying to write a breakdown, and I was like, it's just repeat the hook. And they're like, nah, we need a breakdown here. Like it's gotta, what feels like should be a breakdown. I was
all right.
You know, I'm just going to relinquish control, and I'm going to let y'all do that. And I'm going to go outside and have a PBR.
Yep.
And then eventually they're like, yeah, we should repeat the hook. Let's try it. And I think we had left Maryland by that point. So they'd sent it to us.
No, we're still there. Yeah. We were
tracking drums.
Yeah. We were tracking drums.
And he was like, let me just copy and paste it very crudely and see how it sounds. And that works. That's fine. And I was like in my bed over there, just like, that's what I was trying to say.
This dude was so exhausted because he had to record.
It was like 8 and a half.
He had to
days.
Record so many days. And like every other day he'd come home and be like, all right, I think I'm done. And then Chris was like, nope, we got to retract this and this and this and this. And he's like this dude was like so filled with just like just despair, I guess. Yeah. It's like just like, oh, don't make me do
this. I remember we had finished up and I was like, cool, I'm done. I'm gonna go back to the hotel and I'm going to sleep. And then like we're on the way back and I'm like 10 minutes away and Chris is like, hey, Austin, our bass player, like the parts he's playing aren't quite right. You need to come back and show him what to play. And I'm just like, I'm like listening to Power Trip. I was like cranking. Yeah, I was like, I am just so stressed out. And Chris was like, yeah, well, this is what you get for being the one to write all the songs. And I was like, well, fuck me then.
Yeah. We aged like, we each aged like 20 years within a 2 week period.
Yeah, Nick left with significantly more gray hairs, that's for sure.
Yeah, dude. Oh, lots of stress.
So it sounds like this is like building toward a larger, you know, release, like in terms of an EP or a record.
Yeah, it's kind of in between that EP and full length album. Like once it gets posted, the whole thing, it's gonna show up. Like Spotify will say it's an album, but we call it an EP or an album because it's 8 tracks. It's like 7.5 because there's like a little interlude or something, mm-hmm. but it's enough for like just over that EP line. But most of it is gonna be singles. Minus like 2 songs. Like, honestly, like...
Yeah, because we had debated doing the entire thing as singles, but yeah. Then when we thought about it, it's like, well, these other 2 songs here, they're not strong enough to be singles on their own, so we might as well just put it out as an EP with the, you know, like, okay, here's all these singles that we've already put out, and then here's these other 2 songs that you guys get as a bonus, you know? So it's like, yeah. I'm not going to put these out on their own because they're not strong enough to be singles, but they're still good songs, but they're definitely better within context.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, so Kevin, it sounds like that you mainly are the one to write all of the, I guess, instrumentals at least, or...
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, you know, the way we write a lot of music is like, I guess you could call it, we write it live, where we're all in this room that we're in here.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of start jamming on some stuff, and it either starts with like, okay, here's a riff that I wrote that's really cool, or here's like some chorus chords that I think would be cool to build around. And a lot of times what will happen is it'll be, you know, myself, our drummer, and our bassist will kind of just jam on something for a while and see, you know, do we feel like something towards this, or is it just like, you know, here's, that's whatever. And so a lot of times when we write music, it's, I will bring one part of it, but everything's built within the group. So like, I never want to say like, you know, I'm like the sole songwriter. Everybody writes their own parts.
Yeah. He'll just be like, I had this fucking riff stuck in my head at 2 a.m. and just start jamming. And then Nick, our drummer, will just start being like, does this sound cool with it? And then they kind of go back and forth. And then we'll like shelf ideas and just write like, we have so many random song title or riff title names written on the whiteboard back here.
Yeah, it's perfect. And you got it. I assume that's Acacia's Strange shirt on.
Yeah.
And we have a little thing over there and it's called Acacia Brain because it's literally, it is only a breakdown we wrote and we're like, this is dirty as hell.
Yeah, it's like, this sounds like the
Acacia. So we're just like, let's just write it here.
Yeah.
And keep it, you know.
Yeah. It's just a lot of that, like just very, very sporadic. So we got a lot of demos the next time we go to the studio. And so that'll be dope once we actually do like
November.
We'll see.
That's awesome. So like, Kevin, I guess like also going like to just, you know, you playing guitar, like how do you, I guess, like what is kind of, I guess, but maybe I know you have a Spite shirt on, but I guess like what is kind of the music that you kind of, I guess like kind of surround yourself in that may or may not influence how you play guitar? Are you like one of these prog nerds or are you?
No.
No.
Okay. Good.
No. The kind of running joke within the band is that we're an Australian band from North Carolina.
Yeah,
all of us we listen to a lot of Australian bands
like Thornhill,
Void of Vision,
Alpha Wolf,
To the Great, like that kind of stuff.
Just for
the Damned.
Yeah,
I love that shit. So you know, that's kind of the joke is that we're, you know, an Australian band from North Carolina.
Yeah,
but I guess that. We've talked about it that everybody in the band has like a different variety of heavy that they enjoy.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy like the Spite or like Fuming Mouth or Joy, like the kind of like really grimy like
dark,
noise.
Like,
yeah, noisy.
Black metal kind of stuff.
Oh, I would never say black metal. It's disgusting.
metal?
Yeah, just like some sludgy metal kind of shit. I love that kind of stuff. Like I've been really jamming this band called Catabasis for a while. I like them a lot. But then like everybody in the band has like a different version of heavy that they enjoy, but it's funny that I enjoy this stuff and then write like metalcore, you know, where it's, you know, not really what I listen to all the time, but I still enjoy writing it.
It's still where you know, came, because we have,
it's definitely where I came from. Yeah, yeah, you know, because I
big three,
you know, like coming into the scene, like my first metalcore record was Sempiternal. I came into the scene kind of late, you know, so like my big three are Architect, Silent Planet, and like Moss of Flames. So those come out a lot in the way I write music, you know, especially Moths. We get that comparison
time. Yeah, dude, I wasn't even, like, we get that vocally a lot, and, like, I know I'm wearing a Moth shirt now. But that wasn't, like, my intention. Like, whenever we first came out, like, we had so many people be like, dude, the vocalist sounds just like Chris from Moths, and I was like, man, that's pretty cool. I like that, man. You know, like, I'm not going to be like, I don't listen to them, because I love them. They're, if you check my shit, like, they're in my top shit, but, like, I wasn't trying to emulate that. So,
yeah,
it's just through how it came out. Like, I was trying to emulate, like, the old, like, Christcore shit, mm-hmm. like, fucking My Children, My Bride, and, like, A Plea for Purging, and, like,
okay.
Four Today, and, like, old Devil Wears Prada, like, when he was still doing those, like, weird chicken screams.
Yeah, the Devil Wears Prada is definitely one of those bands that, like, I've always had kind of trouble getting into, but I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of the screams.
And yeah.
There goes my cat. Yeah, and there goes my cat. Here we go. Get ready.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So then I guess for you, Nolan, like, are you kind of, it sounds like you have, like probably it's still in the heavy sphere, obviously, but just like kind of a different avenue of heavy that you're interested in.
Yeah. I like, it's weird, dude. I go between, like, I love a lot of the modern stuff, but yeah. It's hard to keep up with, you know, because there's new stuff coming out all the time. So I kind of find, like, my modern stuff, but, like, the stuff I go back to is either, like, the, like, metal core type stuff, like old, like mid Killswitch, old Parkway Drive, old Argus Burns Red, and, like, the, like, I call it the Joey Sturgis core, like the old The Color Morale, and I'm blanking on some other bands too, because I have a Color Morale tattoo, which I always forget about, which I got when I was, like, really young, and now I don't really listen to them, and it's kind of like, oh, cool. Which, I mean, they're great, don't get me wrong, but yeah, just stuff like that, though. Like, I like the I like fucking, like, the debt, like, we're playing Blue Ridge, bro. Like, Skillet is playing, like, I love, like, Skillet and, like, Breaking Benjamin and, like, all these bands, dude. And, like, the fact that, like, they're on this show that we're on, I'm like, dude, this is literally the bands that, like, I found on, like, old Madden games and, like, WWE games and shit playing during the menu and stuff. And I was like, and, like, Rise Against is another one. They were on the wrestling game too. And I was just like 8 years old, like, this is the coolest shit in the world. What the fuck? And, like, Papa Roach and all that, just, like, old kind of stuff. But my mid tier is, like, whatever was popular in 2011.
Okay, that makes, yeah. So I guess speaking of Blue Ridge, is like, are those, like, the bands that you're kind of, because, like, for me, like, when I saw Limp Bizkit announced, I was like,
oh yes. and Mike's not in here anymore, but Mike is huge Limp Bizkit fan, and he, every time he gets not sober, he will tell you how much he loves Limp Bizkit.
We did, like, a recorded live set pretty recently, and the second we hit Gastonia, which is where Fred Durst is from, Bizkit for the next, like, hour, which none of us were, like, mad about. It was still, like,
yeah, it was
we're,
so cool.
We're about, you know, 7 days.
He was like, dude, we got to pay homage, man. We got to pay homage to Durst, bro.
Dude, I don't know why I love Limp Bizkit. I mean, the other guys in my band, you know, maybe not too far into them, but listen, yeah. I love them, you know. Yeah. I just fuck them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Adam doesn't like new metal, bro. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I know, dude. They're boomers. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. He plays a headless guitar. He has no opinion.
I don't know what that means, but it's funny.
So he actually recently just got a Jackson with a head. So
okay.
Yeah. Oh no, now I can't make fun of him.
Big upgrade.
I've lost my leverage.
Well, so, like, before I even met him, like, I didn't even know that headless guitars were, like, a thing. Like, and, like, yeah. Now I've learned that, you know, they're, like, kind of I'm trying to think of, like, a good word to describe it. It's like
taboo?
You see it and you will taboo, and like if you just look at it, you're like, that guy thinks it's like pretentious in a way.
And yeah. It's like playing a Zee guitar. You're like, fuck you, dude. What? Who do you think you are?
Yeah. And it's funny, cause, like, I think of now, like, with headless guitars, like, I think of, like, Lee McKinney from Born of Osiris is like,
the guitar, yeah.
And he's just like, you know, and it's just like, yeah, I guess maybe that should have been a red flag that Adam was a prog guy when I first met him.
But I mean, you know, what are you gonna do, bro?
I'm gonna rewind that so much.
Dude, I
call those Whittley riffs, bro.
Yeah, I'm just I'm not a weedly guy, man. Like, I'm just not. Like as you guys probably, like, have probably seen me post online numerous times, like, I'm a Muir, live or die.
Yeah, dude. No.
You know, Muir, like,
fucking, like, in the Acacia strain, any bands, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Heavy. Yeah. What does it call it? Like, knuckle dragging?
It's like knuckle dragging, like caveman.
Caveman riffs.
Riffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Dude,
I also love that shit. Like, but I also have like a part of me that's just like, yo, if I can sound any bit like Mitch Stark, I will be happy with myself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like there's a cognitive dissonance going on there where I'm like, I want to play some like death card sworn in shit, but I also want to lay some nasty riffs down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always like a push and pull. Cause I remember in our, like, we have like a bunch of video that we took while we were in the studio. And I remember one of the pre-pro days, there was a day where no one was like, nah, man, I just love the heavy shit. And I was like over there, I was like, but I like playing fun riffs because that's fun for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it's an interesting balance, man. Like trying to, you know, like, I guess, like trying to accommodate the, I guess what you said, like, it's fun to play these certain kind of riffs, but also, like you had said earlier, like keeping it true to what the song calls for.
Yeah.
Like this new song that you guys are coming out with, Leshen, it doesn't sound like a solo probably makes any kind of sense, like for this one, for example.
It's a lead.
Well, that's a lead.
It's not like,
yeah, I mean, like a Sinister Gates on top of the casket and Seize the Day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like
that's old shit. That's another band. Their old shit is dope too.
Yeah, oh, dude. That's like the start of everything for me. Mm-hmm. You know? But yeah, so no, I think that's really cool. And I was talking, because my girlfriend is not at all interested in any of this. Like, she just doesn't, not a metal, into metal, like, at all.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny because, like, I'll put on a mural, like, in the car, and she'll say, she's like, you know, like, this isn't my musical choice, but I can tolerate listening to it. And I said, well, like, what do you, like, why? I said, because this is kind of, like, on the heavier spectrum of metal. And she goes, because there's not guitars just overwhelming everything. I mean, that's what she says.
Right. So
it's really interesting to get like that point of view from somebody who doesn't listen to metal, where they're like,
yeah,
where they're just like,
people like Knocked Loose, dude. Like, there's a lot of people that don't listen to this genre at all, but they'll be like, if you're like, yeah, you know, Knocked Loose, they're like, oh fuck yeah, dude, I work out to that shit.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that, or you know, somebody in that sphere. And like, they're not like going to shows or in the scene or whatever. They're just like, fuck yeah, bro, Knocked Loose is my shit. And I'm right. Like, cool.
Yeah, because it's just groovy or just heavy, and there's no like, you know, just 15-8 time signatures sprinkled throughout or whatever.
It's not some like, oh, you got to listen for the time change or the paradiddle or this.
It's not music for musicians.
Yeah, it's music for people.
Yeah, because actually, you guys have probably watched the Punk Rock NBA, I would assume. Have you ever watched that channel?
Is that Finn McKenzie?
Okay,
yeah.
So he just put out a video about the problem with progressive music. And like, I've been watching him for a long, long time. And I was just like, I watched that video and I was like, yes, thank God.
Someone said it.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't watched that one yet, but I saw like Misha on the front of it. I was like, okay, I'll probably enjoy this video.
Yeah.
No, it is a really good video. And I think that, you know, I think the best part too, that it really kind of alludes to in that video, is that there's a big difference between being a riff writer and a songwriter. Like, it's two totally different things. And it's kind of tough, especially like, you know, like when, you know, like, especially like depending on who writes the music, like for some guitar players are like, man, I just love my riffs. So that like is what kind of it gets based around. And it's tough, you know, we're all figuring it out at the end of the day. So,
yeah, exactly.
But you guys go to Chris from the Ghost Inside, who helps kind of act as like that filter. So I'm curious, like, how that all kind of got started, because Chris, you know, I mean, he's a little bit of a popular fella, you know.
He's been around. He's got a blue check mark in his Instagram, bro. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Not Twitter. He's not cool on Twitter, but on Instagram,
So Twitter hasn't caught up yet. I see.
Twitter's like, you don't play guitar in that band.
Yeah, they're like, no. Yeah.
That's an interesting story how we got like connected with that.
It's an accident.
Yeah, because so there was a show we were supposed to, we played in South Carolina, and it was like us and a bunch of our friends, and then it was like Limbs was headlining, So, you know, we're halfway there and the promoter is like, hey, limbs drop. So it'll be just y'all. Do you still want to play the show? And we kind of molded over and we're like, well, we're already halfway here, you know, and it's all of our homies. So it's just going to be a lot of fun. You know, we might as well. And unbeknownst to us, our friend Andrew, who does all the production on our music, knew Chris very well and took a video of us playing like the first version of Heart and Spine and sent it to him.
The slow version.
Yeah, the one that was like 5 BPM slower, had a whole different breakdown, all that kind of stuff. And it had sent it to him. And after our set, he was like, hey, I sent this to Chris, you know, from the Ghost Inside. And we're like, oh, that's really dope. You know, meanwhile, our drummer's wearing a Ghost Inside, you know.
He's playing the show in a Ghost Inside tank top.
So, you know, it just kind of worked out because around that time we were leaving our studio that we had, you know, originally worked with on our first three releases. And, you know, I was kind of like, well, who do we go to now? You know, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Because a lot of the other studios around here aren't exactly what I'm looking for. So like, are we just dead in the water? I never really thought about going outside of the state.
Right.
And I remember this moment very clearly because it was like 8 a.m. I'm just getting up. I'm trying to make my coffee. I got a text that's like, hey, this is Chris Davis from the Ghost Inside in Texas in July. Like, you know, Andrew had sent me your song and I thought you guys were really dope and I would love to work with you. And I was just like, you know,
we were all just like,
I remember I called like everybody. I called my mom and I called my dad. I'm like, oh my God, you know, this dude that I've, you know, loved this music wants to record my band. Like, you know, who gives a shit about us? Apparently somebody, you know, so.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's like, had we not said, fuck it, we're already halfway there, let's play the show, this probably wouldn't, none of this would have happened.
Yeah,
probably,
if we would have dropped that show, then we never probably would have recorded with them.
You know, who knows where we would be now. Right. So it's, you know, and when I say, like, you know, Chris is the reason why we're doing as well as we are, I don't say that lightly. You know, like, he's been such, like, a mentor figure for all of us and learning how to, like, write songs, you know, like that was a big thing of like, okay, well, this part needs to cater to this, you know, or that, and just writing songs. I remember when we brought him the demos for the EP, it was like, do you want this to be artsy and true to what you want, or do you want this to be, you know, marketable in music? And obviously, you know, we were all like, I want this to be like marketable and like, you know, people to enjoy this, you know.
I
don't care if I, you know, someone has to take the back seat in this part. Like, if it reaches people and they enjoy it, that's what matters most. So, like, you know, whenever we say, like, Chris and Andrew are a lot of the reason we're doing so as well as we are, like, that's not, like, just me gassing up my friends. Like, I genuinely feel that.
Yeah, because he was the guy that was like, that sucks, take it out. That's fucking cool, leave it. And we're like, wait, what? Like, Accuser, for example.
Yeah, Accuser wasn't supposed to be on.
Accuser was an old demo from, like, late 2018, early 2019. Like, we played the old version at like our first couple shows and then it just kind of got shelved. And then we went to Chris and we had a bunch of demos and one of the songs or demos got cut. So he was like, I was like, well, do you have some, you know, some other stuff? And then I pulled up our old demos folder with Accuser in it and I sent it to him. And then he was like, as soon as they hit the chorus, he was like, yeah, we got to keep it. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, that's fucking sick, man. That's gonna blow up. We're keeping that. And I'm like, okay, man, because all of us at that point are just like, man, I'm kind of over that song.
Yeah, we've been
like,
playing it for,
you know, we don't really
time.
Know if that song's going to work, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, it's going to be sick. So it's weird. A lot of these songs that are just now coming out and you know, going to come out the next few months, we've known for like 2 years and we're already like, when's the next one?
You just kind of, I guess, like, for lack of a better phrase, like, kind of sitting on that material for so long.
Right.
Like, but it's cool though to show somebody like him something that you're kind of like burnt out on, essentially, because it's just, you've played it so much. You're just like, okay, like, this.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
This, yeah. And he just sees it. He's like, nah, man, like, this is.
And he's cool. Able to kind of see through the, like, he's not like us where we know, oh, that's this riff. Oh, that's this part. Oh, that's this time. Oh, that's it. He just hears it and is just like, yeah, that'll work. Or, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So, like, I guess, like, for each of you, like, working with Chris, who, you know, pretty accomplished fella, you know, couple of shows played by that guy.
Yeah, you know, a few thousand people.
Right. Like, what is something that I guess each of you have kind of taken away from being in the studio with him is like, oh, wow, like that is like actually like new knowledge that like I have added to my toolkit, for the lack of a better phrase.
The main thing is just something that has come to my head. I'm trying to think of the best way to word this. It's not just like doing something because you think it sounds cool. It's like you said, does it fit the song and what we're trying to get across, or like, does it fit the part or something? And a big thing is just letting pride just go out the fucking window, which is very difficult when you're a musician or you create something and somebody either tells you it sucks, or like some of the lyrics I had, he was like as soon as we hit track, he was like, all right, well, first of all, we got to fucking change all this right here. He's like, I see what you're going for, but that sucks. That's kind of cheesy. This is kind of this. And you're sitting there like, okay, like turn into like wipe the tears out of your eyes. Like, okay, yeah, whatever you say, bro. Yeah, just like losing pride, I guess, is the big thing. And then, but also not just losing pride, but being confident in what you can do as well. Like he's very good at getting you to that point of like, no, you should be confident in this. Like this is your pocket, you know? You know, little less of this, little more of this, like just finding your own, sounds cheesy, but like finding your own voice or finding your own kind of sound or anything. But
I mean that's pretty much what I was going to touch on. Like a lot of the, you know, a lot of the learning curve was letting go of like, this is my song that I wrote, you know, it's, this is how I want it, you know, and just understanding like, well, that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things for what we want to, you know, do.
Right.
So like, you know, he really has been like a mentor figure for a lot of us on like, this is the real shit. You're in it now.
Yeah. Like, this is not just you recording with your buddy over there. It's like, no, you're recording with some big boys. And he was telling me, cause there was, I think it was Heart and Spine. That like, we were trying to get the chorus down or something. And I just couldn't get it or couldn't get a part. And he was like, all right, we're going to keep it going until you get it. And just kept the part, like the little 10-second part, just looping. So like, you're fucking going crazy. And he was like, oh, you think this is bad, dude? We recorded with Will Putney and he does this shit. Like he straight up is like, no, you don't get to stop until it's done.
That's
like,
what
your reward like, is like, silence.
Yeah. Your reward is silence. Is
yeah.
Said. Like a fucking like NFL coach, you know? Yeah.
That's so funny. I've like heard like, I guess testimonials or whatever about people that have worked with Will. And they're just like, he just is just go get it done. Like, don't stop until this is done. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So funny. Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that because, you know, we actually had, up until a couple weeks ago, had never gone into a studio. So we went in for the first time a couple weeks ago out to California, which that was a fun flight, you know, not long at all. And it's really interesting, like you guys, because it's just funny to hear the parallels because our producer, he said something similar. He's like, so do you want this? He said it almost verbatim what you said. He's like, do you want this to be like artsy and for you, or do you want this to be like more commercial, not like dad rock, but like in terms of digestibility? Yeah. And I'm like, well, listen, dude, I mean I'll be honest with you, dude, like I want some money, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. These riffs gotta pay the bills, man.
Yeah, dude. One day, yeah. Like, core money check, it's gotta hit.
So he, not only did he say that, but like I tend to write a lot of lyrics, and like he's like going through them and reading them, and he goes, who the fuck wrote this? It's Shakespeare. He's like, you got to take out like this part, and I'm like, okay, like because it's like for which, and like I'm just like different like phrases,
oh, yeah. Stuff
like that sound like, I guess he said like
prepositional phrases.
Yeah, it's like stuff that like you write it and then it's like, if you go to try to like scream it, it's like just kind of awkward. So like, like
to be or not to be.
I mean, that comes like with a conversation why like someone like Ollie Sykes is as, you know, big as he is, like the lyrics he writes are not like the most like big brain shit, but they're also the most quotable shit, you know? So it's
don't breathe on me.
You know, it makes sense why they're as popular as they are, because he's not writing shit, you know, like Silent Planet is such a fucking anomaly because you have to be so smart to understand anything that's going on.
He's got notes, though. He's got
footnotes.
He's got footnotes, like, and like he's like cites it in like MLA format. And, like,
yeah, it's like the fact
shit.
That band is as popular as they are is, in, you know, fucking knowledge core.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
it's funny that you bring that up, you know, because it's like, I you know, it basically is like a less is more.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Because
I think I had a couple lyrics like that as well. Not to the degree of the Shakespeare stuff, but he did have some stuff in there where he was like, man, you got to find an easier way to say this so that people will sing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right.
Yes, I got it.
Like you've said before, that's like your best, like,
yeah, Lesion, I think, is my proudest, like, lyrical piece. Like, it the most, like, flow. Like, the other stuff, like,
coherent.
Yeah, coherent. It's got some good, the other songs have, you know, good lines and stuff here and there. Sorry, what time is it?
Huh? No, I was just checking my phone.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure it's not midnight, so, you know, we can post all the songs.
Get those poppers up.
I blinked on what I was saying.
You're lyrics. Talking about,
yeah, just make them like easier access, pretty much. And like, you know, same shit you were saying, pretty much, just different wording there.
Yeah, it's interesting, man, because it's because I also went to school, like I have a degree like in writing, so like I'm always like trying to like think of ways to like express an emotion without being like I am mad. But like sometimes for a song, it's like that's all that kind of needs to be said, you know, like,
and right,
like,
right.
Like a, that's like a, that's been for me, like the toughest part is because I take a lot of pride in like my lyrics. And it's like trying to just not make them so like a 200 IQ for the lack of a better.
Yeah, exactly. Galaxy braining
the lyrics. Yeah. Cause it's like, I don't know about you, Nolan, but like I write about, you know, very personal life experiences. Yeah, it's like, I want it to be like, this is my canvas and I'm going to,
this is my story.
Yeah.
It's so, a concept like, album, bro.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say all the time. I'm like, man, all of our songs are a concept about my fucked up life. I mean, that's just,
yeah, exactly.
So like, so are you like the sole lyric writer, like, or like do like the other guys kind of help out, or like
Kevin will usually have a theme for what the song is, and is amazing with lyrics. He has a he went to school for English as well.
I was gonna say you don't have a degree. Yeah, no, I took a lot of honors English class.
He has credit though, that, man.
I did try to go to college, and I was like, fuck this. This is not what I want out of this.
I wish.
Oh, Boston, you want to hop on the podcast?
I'm gonna eat.
Okay, can you eat in a different room?
No, I am. I'm all just right. Throwing this up here.
Hi. Yeah. Well, this is our bass player.
Yeah, that's our bass player, Austin. Say hi to Richard.
What's up, Austin?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I just got off work, so I'm doing all right.
It's always a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah,
so I know that he's the bass player. So do you have to remind him that a new song's coming out tomorrow? Because I know that he's a bass player. So I mean, we got, you know,
he's one of the more like responsible.
He said he
people.
Almost forgot. Yeah.
I'm kidding, man.
No, I absolutely love the what would you call? I love everything they say about bass players because most of the time it might be true, but there are a few exceptions here or there.
Yeah.
See, I can already tell he seems like a more articulate guy. Like, you know, like he...
He's not just the guy that was hanging out like, hey, man, you want to play bass in our band? Like, he's actually like a classically trained bass player. I'm going to use that term.
I like that.
Yeah. He's not classically trained, but you trained yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, something like that. I took a lesson once. I appreciate what's going on here, but I am going to go eat.
All right, yeah.
Go eat. Enjoy
this point, like, everybody comes popping in and out.
I'm gonna lock that door actually. Yeah,
it's all good, man.
Yeah,
this is not a formal thing whatsoever. Do not worry.
Oh, are you sure? Are you sure it's not a formal thing,
dude? Claw is the law. We're out here.
Great value.
Hey, I got you.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Look at that. Hold on, right?
Hey, look at that. Stay hydrated,
bro. Yeah. We gassed on the water.
We have the same water. We have the same exact water. Great value, baby.
Exactly, dude. You know about Walmart too. Wow,
bro, it's like you're connected, bro.
We're fucking connected.
It's like Walmart.
But yeah, no. So with the lyric stuff, usually Kevin will have ideas, but like for a theme. But I will. I'll write, you know, what I'm thinking, and then we'll collaborate on most of them. You know, it's not really like when we get to the studio, especially this last time. It's very like Google Doc. Everybody has access.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this line, and you can like edit in real time, kind of thing. That's what we did on these.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, you're good at writing the songs. I'm more like, here's like a line.
Yeah, because you wrote on the on Heart and Spine on the last on the Leaning on a Fairway.
Yeah, yeah.
Like so you wrote like, that last part.
So like you know like it, when it comes to writing like full songs, that's not so much my forte. I think the only time I ever did that was like Trauma, which is the first one.
Trauma is all his lyrics. Yeah. Pretty much.
But like I like writing like one-liners or like pre-breakdown lyrics. Like that's my sauce.
Count the seconds between you and the
Yeah, rest. I love that. Like I love that lyric. I remember I made that like our Twitter bio, and I was like, "Yo, this is hard. Look at it." And you're like, "Yo."
Yeah, he'll just think of like really cool, like I don't know, like words that represent like you say it, and you're like, "That's a artsy, not artsy, but that's like a it gives you a weird."
You're just like, ooh,
yeah.
It was like, that could go on a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like, could this go on a t-shirt? Will people
I like that. Well, it's interesting because, like, I know that, Kevin, you said that you kind of came from, like, the easy core world. So, like, like those themes that you kind of, you know, use for Heirloom, was that, like, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, but, like, were the themes that you kind of had in mind, did they – fit the because I think of easy core as like you know like upbeat kind of like fun happy go lucky eating the pizza kind of thing or whatever it's like well
yes and no like so we had written maybe 5 or 6 songs and in that particular part time of my life I was going through a lot of like relationship issues so you know like we do have one song out and so I don't think any of the songs but like 1 or 2 were like happy lyrically
sounded happy
I mean it's like Pumped Up Kicks it's
right
like, that's a fun sounding song but it's really it's like, fucked up that when you read the lyrics you know so it's like that kind of, so I've always been a more like minor key kind of writer where I like the kind of stuff that's a little more like you know makes you think
makes you feel uncomfortable
I think that's why I lasted onto bands like Silent Planet a lot because it's a very much like uneasy feeling, you know. So from that background, I don't think a lot of it transferred over, you know. And like I was saying in the beginning, where you know we just kept writing heavier and heavier music, where it's like, I don't think we were meant to write pop punk or you know easy core. I still love writing that stuff, and I do still enjoy that. Like you know, like Chunk Like Cat and Chunk putting out a new song was like the highlight of my fucking week. So, you know, I still enjoy that kind of music, but I don't think I was meant to write that kind of stuff. And I would say much of it transferred over, lyrically speaking.
That makes sense. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. Yeah, because, like, I think of, like, Easy Core, I think of, like, 4 Years Strong. And it's like, that is interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. Lyrics are a funny thing, and I think like especially like with metalcore, it's like it's hard to. I mean, unless you're like Attila, right? It's like it's kind of hard to like find like I don't want to say like happy lyrics, but like something that's not like what I like to refer to as like introspective or like you know like, or something like that. Like it's always like something that's like. It's interesting in that way. I don't know why that happens, but it just does.
It's always like the voices in my head are getting louder and I'm being pulled by the undertow.
Like how do I escape these tropes?
Yeah, you know, it's like how do I like pull me out of the darkness?
Like whenever I'm like brainstorming things, if I say any of those kind of tropes, I'm like, no.
Yeah. He straight up the other day was like, Nolan, if you ever put the word undertow in our lyrics, I swear to God, you're kicked out of the band.
Will never have. I like my goal is to never have to have that happen.
Or like back in 2012, where every band had a song called like The Deceiver,
or Gravity.
Oh my god,
Gravity or some other.
I actually did a feature for a band around here, and the song was called The Deceiver.
Yes.
Oh my god,
I love it, dude. Send that shit to me. It's probably sick though.
Yeah.
Like Ghost Inside has a song called The Deceiver.
And it's fucking smacks. And I hate that it's a B-side.
Mm-hmm.
It's some of the thickest shit. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, dude. Like, so it's actually kind of interesting. So, like, I listened to Chris's podcast that he did with Tuck. And I know that he mentioned you guys on that podcast because he was like, these guys get it. And I thought that was really cool. And then from there, you know, because like we're on Twitch all the time and stuff like that. And like I saw that he was online one day and I raided him. And so like, you know, then I kind of like, because I was able to say hello to him. And I don't know. I think that's just really cool because, man, it's just like, it's just so weird. Like, you know, you guys talk about how like if you didn't play that show, like you would have never gotten connected with him. And like, it's so weird how like everything can be like so
easy. Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier because that's how I found you guys. I found you guys from Tuck's podcast whenever the episode where he had the dude from Our Last Night on, and then he had Mirage played on the thing, and I was like, whoa, this is fucking cool. And then I looked it up on Spotify and I like added it and stuff, and then I started seeing y'all's like reaction videos, and then I started seeing, I was like, oh, they're like a band, you know, a whole band podcast, and then everything. I started like binging all that shit and was just like, this is fucking cool. And I've been meaning to tell you this for a while. I'm so glad we finally do this. So Tuck calls himself the Joe Rogan of metalcore, but bro, you got more content than he does right now, man. He's been slacking lately on the fucking podcast, dude. You're putting out episodes like every other week. He hasn't put one out in like, except for the recent one. He's starting to slow down, you know, but Board of Vision. That's dope. I need to listen to that.
Yeah. Like my goal for this podcast was I wanted to do, cause I started it last year and I was like, man, in 2021, I want to have an episode every week. And so far, so good. So far, so good on that front, because that's been something that I really like to do. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like kind of like being a band and like also doing this other stuff. It's interesting and it's kind of weird sometimes, because it's like I don't know if people know how to like look at us. Like, and I guess that it's all fine at the end of the day, right? Like as long as people like know who we are. But it's definitely interesting, and I know that it's you know, different from the norm, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
I just need the shit out of that couch. That hurts so bad.
Jesus Christ. yeah, and like I fucking hate them so much. The door was locked and they were like, we need a beer. I need to get a beer. Fucking assholes. Anyway, yeah, so True Shot as a whole entity though, like, because y'all have like your channel, it's like you don't have separate channels for your reaction videos, for your music. It's all centralized on that one channel. So someone might love your music and hate your reaction videos, or vice versa. You know, they might find you guys for it's all one umbrella thing. So I think that's really cool. Like y'all are like the first metal band reacts. You know what I mean? It's usually just like metal guitarist reacts, or like couples react, or you know, hip hop head reacts or something like that. I think you guys are the first one I've ever seen where it's a like, you and Adam are like, we're in a band together, and you're like, before every reaction video, I can tell when they're posted, like based off when y'all singles came out, because you'll have the little like clip in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I'll just get that stuck in my head. Like I'll be sitting here playing like fucking Rocket League and just be like, this must be a dress. And then the other one, I'm like, do you see me? Are you happy now?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Little thing, because it's just like intrusive thoughts that'll just fucking like stay in there, because like you hear them so many times from the intro.
Yeah, no, that's why like I've actually started like kind of like changing the part of the song. So I'm like, man, people are probably like, oh, I knew, like we fucking get it, like, you know, I hate this part now, whatever.
No, that's good marketing, because then it'll get stuck in their head and they'll be like, man, I fucking hate that band. And then like 2 days later they'll be like, do you see me? Are you happy now? I
mean, we were for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's actually funny, like that line that you keep saying, do you see me? Are you happy now? Like I was writing that and I was like, man, like this just seems kind of like, bleh. It's not like the most like sound literature line, but
it fits the song, I guess, you know. And plus that was, you know, the first song I heard from you guys. And I remember you came in with the, like the highs and everything. And I think you guys have been compared to them before, but like old Northflame, like Adrian Northflame, where you have that, like, that like mid, like, but then the like, like the little low shit and then the shit in between. So I was just like, cause you know, y'all came on that podcast. I wasn't expecting it to be like, oh, I'm going to go check these guys out. Like usually I skip those, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, usually on the, true. Yeah. I mean, I do too.
Yeah. Like some of them, I'm like, I'll hear a clip and I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But
yeah,
you know, Tug mostly has good bands on there, but for that one particularly, I think, I'm, I'm glad I didn't skip it, I guess.
No, well, that means I do appreciate it. Kevin's like, I've had enough of this guy. I'm out.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this shit. I'm getting another beer.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so funny. Like, I'm looking at Kevin, and it, like, he looks so much like one of our, like, a videographer that we have used. Like, he, dude, it's like kind of freaky. Like, I mean,
really?
They're like identical, dude. Like,
just honestly, take me in, man.
Dude, he can be your next photographer, right? Dude, he takes pictures as well.
Well, that was my intro to the music scene.
Yeah,
dude, it's just so. I'm glad that we're not in person, because like Kevin will be like, dude, what are you like checking me out? Like, what's going on here? Because like I'm like looking at him and I'm like, damn, he looks a lot like Ian. Like literally, like the hair, just like the face. Like, dude, I'm going to send you a picture. This is freaky. Like, this is a doppelganger kind of.
Okay. Shit, okay.
How about it? That's a lucky dude. He looks good.
So like, I'll get you guys out of here shortly.
You're good. No, I just want to, like, as long as we could be on here till 11:50. I don't give a fuck. I just wanted to have that last little, like, all right, guys, blah, 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 blah.
Draft up a post.
You know, you got to draft up the post and, like, put the link here and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the last minute shit.
Yeah, it's 12 posts.
Yeah, it's like, what's up, guys? New song is out now. You know,
I remember when I had a bunch of drafts for when we were announcing Leshen. And I was at the fucking zoo trying to feed a giraffe and make the post at the same time. And then it didn't work. And I was like, God damn it. Now I have to make another. So it's like, cool. We announced it 10 minutes late. But I'm like, well, you know,
whatever. Yeah.
You
know? It'll still show up as long as it's the same day.
The guy's like, he's like, oh, he's not really interested. I was like, look, dude, my metalcore band, man. I don't, this
giraffe can wait.
This giraffe can wait. You know?
This giraffe can wait. Yeah. No, I love that. Stupid giraffe. He ruined the post. God damn it.
Yeah. Asshole with your long neck.
So I guess like, how do you guys, because is there four or five of you in the, I think there's five, right?
Yeah, there's five now. We started with four, and then fucking drunk boy that just came in making a great first impression is our fucking second guitar player.
Drunk boy.
Nah, he's great. I've known Mike for about 5 years. I knew him before mm-hmm. I knew these guys. And then Mike worked at the old studio that we recorded at. So he would always be there to like help us, you know, like set up shit. And, you know, he'd be in there for like helping with production and stuff like that as well. And then he went with us to record with Chris. Mm-hmm. And then for Heart and Spine. And then when we went back up to record the rest of them, there was a point where we were like, do you want to fucking join the band, dude? And he was like, all right, let's talk about when we get back. Like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And then after we got back, we didn't see each other for like a month because we were like, nobody wants to talk to each other after being this close together for 2 weeks, you know? And then we had a meeting and we're like, hey, man, you know, you want to fucking join? And then that happened last like December or something.
I think it was December, November.
Yeah, and then we took new promos with him, and now he is he's here. We've got the five piece thing. So
mm-hmm.
It
became to a point where it's like the songs I want to write are bigger than what a four piece allows.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to have to
only backtrack so much.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like I can only fill so much space sonically on my own.
Yeah.
So having someone, you know, that can play a lead line or, you know, do something else in the background or just make, you know, thicken the chorus up or something like that. You know, it became like this might be a good idea. Cause I mean, you joked about it, but I don't want to backtrack everything.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. No. We backtrack the samples and shit, you know, but
instruments,
like to keep. You know? Yeah. We can't pull I don't think Fit does it anymore, but I think Fit for a while, they just had like one guitar.
Yeah.
And then they had the others mm-hmm. through like an amp or something. But
No, that definitely makes, it makes sense. Like, especially like, you know, with this type of music where it's typically you have like leads kind of, you know, in there and then obviously like rhythm and stuff like that. So yeah, cause we just have Adam and like, I mean, low key dude, like I've been wanting to get another guitar player for that reason. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like, it's like backtracking, like, it works and it's fine, like it works, but it's like I just think that also just having like that fifth member will just provide a better like stage experience, like it's just more hype, right. You know,
and for that extra like chunk in the background while you're trying to do stuff, you know.
Yeah, I can't speak for him, but for a while, like that's been a conversation for a minute. For a while it's like I never said it, but I was like, no, I want to be the only one playing guitar, you know. It was like a pride thing until I was like, all right, let me just ego kill real quick.
Yep.
And so I, you know, I can't speak for Adam, but that, I mean, that it's definitely like, once you open up to the idea of it and you let it happen, you realize, oh, I can write different stuff now. Like, you know, like I don't have to be playing these ginormous chords anymore.
You don't have to be like sitting there trying to do it all yourself.
Like, I don't have to carry the entire weight of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that, no, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I joked to them once. I was just like, man, like, listen, I know that no one else plays a headless, but you know, no, it's interesting, man. Like, especially like with shows coming back, I think like with the pandemic and stuff like that, I haven't really like thought about that kind of stuff a whole lot, because like, I know that like some people, you know, kind of, you know, I guess kind of took the pandemic off or whatever, but like for us, like other than playing like local shows, I mean, we've always kind of been like a, I guess like more of like an internet entity or whatever, you know? So it's like for us, like it didn't really change that much. So like, it's really just Adam and I, and then, you know, Derek's there as well, but like Adam and I are like the main like two guys. So like now that shows are coming back, I'm like, okay, wow, man, we got to think about like stage presence and like all that kind of stuff again.
The
whole live thing again. And It's especially like after, I don't know, like when you guys' last show was, like ours was January 2020. So it's like
ours is March of 2020, like a week before the fucking shutdown.
Was the O Sleeper.
Yeah, it was Bad Omens, O Sleeper, Thousand Below, and Bloodline.
Yeah.
And it was on a Monday night, and we thought that like 50 people were gonna be there. And we get there and they're like, oh yeah, it's sold out. We're like, what? Yeah. And then, like, during those, like, people are fucking just going insane. And, like, Mike was side stage, and Bad Omens guitar player grabs him and was like, dude, is it always like this? And he's like, it's never been like this before, man, because this is the Drunk Horse Pub in Fayetteville, North Carolina, just in the middle. It was a strip club by day and then, like, a venue by night kind of thing, you know? Rip. But they'll make another one. They always find a way.
Be number four.
Yeah, exactly. They've had like four versions of that venue. Yeah, that show was March 2nd of 2020.
Yeah, it was March 2nd.
Yeah.
So we left to record the rest of the record not that long after either.
And then we went and recorded Heart and Spine the weekend after that. And literally the day we got back, I go to work the next day and it's just like the world is shutting down. And I was like, what the fuck happened while we were gone?
Yeah.
Heart and Spine we did.
Yeah, we recorded Heart and Spine, then we waited a few months, and then we went back up and did it.
Yeah, because we went in
like August,
September,
end of August.
Was it?
Beginning of September, end of August. It was like the last week of August.
And you're right.
Yeah.
It seems like such a long time.
It seems like 2 years ago, dude.
Dude, it's been a while. Like the last show that I attended was actually that Spite tour, like with Dealer and
Dealer and fucking who else was on that? Like Orthodox.
I am not Varial. Was Varials?
Yeah,
it was a heavy boy package. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's funny you mentioned Thousand Below. Like, that band will always have a special, like, I'm not like that's not like typically my style of music, but like they'll always have a special place in my heart because their guitar player is actually kind of the reason why True Shot exists. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's because of him. Yeah. Like he like kind of gave me the kick in the ass to like get started. So I'll always thank him for
him. Yeah. You want to share with that?
Yeah. So before that, like the year before that happened, me and Nolan went to go see O Sleeper on their like first tour for Decimation and Burial. And on the way back, we stopped at this like Sheets in the middle of nowhere in like Smithfield. And we're pulling in, and I see like the van and the trailer. I was like, huh, that looks like a bandwagon.
Yeah, just kind of like, oh, it must be a band. Oh.
And we walk in, and I, you know, I see a bunch of, you know, emo looking people. And I'm like, okay, it probably is. And one of them was wearing a Thousand Below shirt. And I was like, yo, I love that band. That's really dope. And he was like, oh, thank you. And I was like, you know, I was like, hey, like, what do you play in a band? He's like, oh yeah, I'm playing Thousand Below. And I was like, yo. And it was God.
Yeah.
That's and awesome.
I remember we had talked for a minute. I was like, hey man, maybe next time you guys come through, we'll play a show with you. And then literally the next year later, in that show in March, we had played with them.
And it was with those sleepers.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny. And I'd walked up to Josh. He was just kind of hanging out. I was like, hey, like, weird question, but do you remember running into like two dudes at a Sheets in Smithfield on your last tour and, you know, talking to them? And he was like, I vividly remember that. And I was like, yo, that was us. We just did exactly what because I said we were going
to
do.
They weren't even playing in North Carolina that
night. No, they were.
Kevin and I go to Charlotte to see O Sleeper. It was O Sleeper, Convictions.
We opened for them when they were here, like on that.
Oh, tour. Yeah, on that tour.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, on that tour. Cool. Yep. It was an awesome package. Yeah.
It was huge. Yeah. It was in a lot Charlotte. Of fun. Yeah, we did that, and then we were driving back, and like we were like, did y'all play in North Carolina? Like Thousand Below guys. We were like, did y'all even play a show tonight? He was like, oh no, we're going from Florida to like New York. And I was like, what are the fucking odds?
Dude, yeah, what are the odds of that? Holy the fucking shit.
Same seats at the same time.
Yeah, I always stop into like his Twitch streams. Like that's kind of like my thing. Is like I'll hang out with like the bands that I enjoy in their Twitch streams. Like that's how we got like somewhat close with Chris Rotter from Moths.
Yeah,
you know,
put us on his playlist.
Yeah, put us on the playlist, and I'll stop in the Twitch all the time and hang out. And I feel like connecting with the bands that we enjoy like that is part of the reason why we've had the success that we've had.
And they'll remember you too. Like a lot of the band guys will like see his little username in there and be like, oh, what's up, Seth? Like, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah. They'll never know. If you said, hey, do you know Kevin DeYoung? They're like, I don't know that dude. But if you say, hey, do you know Seafood? They're like, yeah.
Like,
I know exactly who you're talking about. You know,
dude, like that is like, Twitch is like such a fantastic networking. Cause like Moss to Flames as a band, you know, has a ton of listeners on Spotify, but Chris's streams don't have 450,000 people in there.
Right. Yeah, it's like 40 people or something.
It's like 40 to 80, you know, it depends. So it's like that accessibility to the people that you enjoy, you know. Yeah. Like I credit like a day to remember being so like accessible and personable in their early years to be why they're as, you know, popular as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like, you know, especially now, you know, we kind of talk about it, we're like the age of like the teasing everything very mysterious or like very vague posts. I think that's like it's over faded now. Out.
Yeah.
Now people just want to talk to you and hang out with you. And like, that's like my favorite thing is just talking to people that enjoy our music on like Twitter and just shooting the shit and memeing out with them. You know, like that's
straight up. People straight up like. This dude, you know, like on a like Big Cartel, people can leave a note when you buy something. We had somebody that was like, hey man, found you guys on Chris Rotter's stream. And he bought like our most expensive shirt. And I was like, oh my God, thanks. Yeah. Dude. Like that's awesome. You know, like whenever you start seeing the orders come in and it's not just like your friends or your family and you're like, who the fuck, Ohio or New Hampshire or fucking like.
Yo, cool. People actually give a shit outside of our circle.
It's like, oh my God, dude, like. Are we a band?
Like, yeah, man. It's crazy. Like, yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, that's the coolest thing with Twitch. And like, especially like, you know, for us, I'm very fortunate that like, you know, we can get 30 plus viewers or whatever. And then we can raid somebody and like double their stream amount. And like, they'll remember that. And like, just hanging out, like you guys said too, like they'll remember who you are. And like, you just kind of build that relationship over time. And like, yeah, it's like what you said about be like the being mysterious thing. Like, there's very few people left that can pull that off. Like,
unless you're like Thrice or Tool or Bring Me the Horizon or like Architects or now Spirit Box. Yeah. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, you know? True. Yeah,
or somebody like that. But if you're just fucking Joe Schmo down the road, like we have things that are gonna happen.
Big things coming soon.
Soon, and you're like, okay, do you have any music out? And they're like, no, but like, can you like our page? And I'm like, fuck you. You don't have any music out. Like, you're not a band.
Yeah.
You think that's all we got? You don't even know, dude.
Yeah, man. Man, our new one's going to be even better. And then, like, some of it sucks because, like, a lot of them that we, like, harp on is, like, stuff that I've said. It's always like, oh, the next song, bro. Just wait for the next one, bro. Yeah,
I mean, that was the early stages of Heirloom. Like, we were...
It was on the tail end of that teasy.
Yeah, era. And you know, we joke that we were like the worst kept secret of the scene around here, you know, because we were trying to do like the say nothing about it until it happens, and then
be like, here's the band, here's the first song,
But that just didn't happen. Everybody already knew because I'm the biggest leak in the band.
Yeah, his close friend's story on Instagram will leak everything.
Yeah, like
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm just like, look at this cool shit I'm doing.
Yeah, and like, I remember 3 months before we even announced that we were a band or whatever, I was at a show. It was the Deep South show.
Yeah.
And so I think it was like Jonas or somebody. It was like, oh, what's up, dude? Like, are you in a band? I was like, yeah, man. He's like, oh, what band? And I was like, oh, we're not really like doing anything yet, but we're called Heirloom. And he's like, oh, I've heard of you guys. And I'm like,
how?
We have not done shit. He's like, oh yeah, I'm hyped for you guys. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Thank you. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Right.
But like that, like how, like what the, I don't know.
Yeah, no, man. Like, I don't know, man. People just, they love like the transparency, you know, I could always like what I like to call cool guy, somebody like on stream, if they ask me like, well, when's the next song come out? Like, well, listen, man, here's the plan. Like, we got a video on this day. So I don't know, sometime after that, of course, or like, I'll be like, yeah, I need to cancel the video. So the song's going to be coming out later. Cause I love my music videos. Like I love them.
Next on the expensive. List.
They're expensive as hell.
They are, yeah. That's our next single. We're finally gonna have a real music video.
Oh, and is it gonna be your first like real music video?
Yeah, I've never done a music
not
video.
Not Legend, the next one after.
Yeah, not Legend. Yeah. The one after that's called Furthest Corners. We're not signed, bro. We can say anything, man. We don't. Hell we can leave anything you want, bro.
Yeah, the only thing I could have never talked about was Blue Ridge because like they just said not to. But
for a while, I remember I was reading. I think her name is Emily. The girl that does the stuff on there. She, I think it was the day that our bands both got announced.
Yeah.
She was like, all right, give some love to like the rising bands, blah 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 blah, and like posted a bunch of bands. And then this one guy posted on our thing and was like, what about blah blah blah? And he was like, you guys haven't been announced yet. And it's like, oh, sorry, like. How hard is it to read like the fucking like do not
God
it was some dude, I don't know.
No, there's a band that announced like hours early and I'm trying to remember who
it was. Yeah, I think a couple of people announced early and they were just like but we were the ones we were the ones that were like so like is it okay like after we announced
can I say what day we're playing?
Is it okay if we say what day we're playing? And she's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we're playing Thursday, you guys.
Yeah, because we got the email of, like, we're going to announce you guys at this time. And I was like, okay. So, like, as soon as that time hit, I was waiting to hit the post button.
Yeah, just like, I got it ready, dude. Right. And I have a paragraph ready where it's like, I've been waiting to announce this for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our fucking, like, announcement poster is already framed in my room.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, dude. The day, like, I work at Walgreens, so, like, we have a bunch of printing stuff there. And I was like, printed the poster. That fucking day, I was just like, I'm going to big dick this. I don't care. I've worked hard.
Yeah. Well, so like, I posted about it and like, they didn't post it right away. And I was like, they were like 15 minutes behind or something like that. I'm like, well, listen, man, you told me this time. Well,
exactly. Like, they told us, they were like, all right, April 28th at noon. So at noon, we posted. Then, like, 12:10, they posted. We're like, all right, cool.
Well, I feel like I remember we posted it. And then I think it was you or Adam from your personal page was like, yo, that's really dope. And I think I responded. I was like, oh, cool. Hopefully we play it together. And then it was just like a love react. And then, like,
3 hours later,
it's like,
you guys are on. I was like,
let's
go.
Bro party.
Even though we're not playing on the same day, but we'll be there the whole weekend.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you guys are playing Thursday, correct?
Yeah, we're playing Thursday because it's the same night that Ghosts and Sides playing. Mm-hmm. So as soon as. Oh, good.
I was just going to say, I'll just tell you that I know of a certain band that's also playing on Thursday that I'll tell you off of the air because I don't know.
Okay, sounds good.
I don't think they've ever publicly announced it, but you'll be very happy when I tell you who's also playing on Thursday.
Okay. Yeah. I know there's a few on there, but I'm like,
you've been like the oracle on this.
I have been, dude. I've been predicting all the big ones.
Yeah, in the band group chat, he'll be like, oh, I bet it's this band. And the next day, it's like, that band, and we're like,
I predicted Shinedown and
Skillet, and Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah,
all three of those. We'll send it like the post into the group chat. Like, Nolan was right again.
And I'm like, what can I say, dude?
Also, they're all three playing on Thursday.
Oh, no, there's are they playing on Thursday?
No, I don't know. I thought that was
the fact that they were playing in general, but it was like, because you know, Blue Ridge will be like, tomorrow at 9 a.m. we're gonna announce a band that blah 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 blah, and then you see all the rumors and the lineup. So I just start doing my little detective work, and I'm like, it's Shinedown.
Yeah.
No, and then they're like, Shinedown. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I was like, they were not like, they, I think they were teasing, I think Papa Roach or something like that. Oh, where it was, yeah, like they were like the amount of albums sold or whatever. And I was, yeah, like, I was so, like, damn, is it Nickelback?
What? I thought it was gonna be Slipknot, dude.
Yeah.
Which I'm still like,
So damn. We had like another group chat that's like the band and then Chris and our group chat, Andrew. And I remember we were all like kind of like, all right, well, they said this, so it's probably Slipknot. So all of us were like, oh, Slipknot. And then the next day, it was Papa Roach, and I just sent in the group chat that one. And I was like, yeah, it's just Papa Roach. And Chris was like, just Papa Roach? He's like, do you have any idea? And I'm like, in the morning, I'm like, I am 22.
ever since they announced Papa Roach, I just went back and like just jammed a lot of their like recent albums, and it's good. It's really good.
I think all of us are just like, we're just going to go see like the rock bands.
The rock, you know? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can go see Fit for a King almost any other time, but when's the next time I'm gonna see fucking Limp Bizkit?
You know? Yeah, dude. Like, no offense, Fit, but
yeah, I'm gonna be on my knees watching Limp Bizkit. I'm just gonna be like,
Fred, we will be there with you.
Yes,
yeah. Sir. Mike will probably be naked.
Mike will be very naked. And he said he'll be naked. And I was like, oh, that's some dangerous. That means you're naked and you're up to something. That's some bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to get security to look after Mike.
Security can't hold him, dude.
Yeah.
No man can hold him.
Exactly. Yeah. So, all right, man. Well, listen, guys, this was a lot of fun. And I look forward to, you know, we'll definitely probably do this again, because I think that we can definitely talk.
That's for sure.
Kind of vibe I'm getting. But I just want to ask you guys this. I think this is kind of an interesting question, especially like, because I don't know if maybe you guys do have like any features on this upcoming EP record thing or whatever. So I was going to ask you, and like outside of, you know, if there's anybody on there, like, who is somebody that, like, if you had to go on to Featured X right now and like book somebody that you would book?
People that are on Featured X?
Yes.
Or people that you would like to be on Featured X?
I've asked this question before, and people are like, dude, I would get Ollie. And I'm like, okay, well, let's be realistic here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. On Featured X, I would get Loki from Alpha, or Locky, sorry.
Oh, is that
what you said? I've learned recently.
I've gotten that flack too. I'm like, Loki, and they're like, it's Locky, you idiot.
I'm like, it's spelled whatever, dude. But I would, him for sure. We might get him on something. We'll see. But who else is on there that's like big? Brendan from Counterparts.
That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be cool.
Let's see. Sonny from POD just got put on there. That'd be kind of crazy.
That'd be
Who else? I'm blanking right now.
Travis
Tabor is on there.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah, there's a few, dude. There's a few on there that, it's a lot of the ones that say price upon request. So I'm like,
it's nerve wracking.
I remember in Rodder's stream, I had said I'd be cool to get you on a song, and he kind of just chuckled. He's like, no one's gonna tell the difference between me and your current vocalist.
Yeah, dude. He's
gotta do it for the meme. Wait, where was Chris in this song? Yeah, no, that's
yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah, especially on the in between spoken screaming parts. Accuser, I low-key did that on purpose just to prove, because people had already been like, you sound like Moss, and I'm like, oh, you think that sounds like Moss, this sounds
like
ready Moss.
For this, like, one guy that I've always looked at on Featured X, and I'm like, damn, like, that'd be kind of sick. Like, it's like super, like, you would never expect it, but Jaden from Siler. Like,
oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah, I just been loving
Shane Cole from Silverstein. He's
that's
on
a
there too.
yeah
he would be dope.
Yeah, cool.
Which, well, actually, I'll say this real quick, but I was telling him earlier, but you know the podcast that Shane has, Lead Singer Syndrome?
Yeah.
Okay, so he had Jacoby from Papa Roach on there for a couple episodes ago, and I listened to it last night, and they are an hour into the conversation, and they're having the conversation on Twitch, so they're reading, like, chat comments and stuff. So Jacoby goes to answer a question, and then he's like, yeah, man, wait a second. Are you in Silverstein? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, dude, I didn't even know that. You guys are fucking awesome. And he's like, yeah, we're only an hour into the conversation, dude. And so then, like, the chat just starts popping up and stuff. And it's like, you guys got to do, like, a Papa Roach Silverstein thing.
And he's like, bro, I did not know that, man. What's up, dude? Holy shit. And at the very end, he's like, man, I'm going to go jam Silverstein and mow my yard or something.
That is
so funny.
That is so funny. But listen, man, like, I'm stoked to play with you guys. Like, obviously not on the same day or whatever, but like, just be in the same vicinity, and we'll definitely have definitely have to hang out. And hey, maybe, I mean, listen, if you guys are into it, maybe we hit some other shows up around the same time, you know. Dude,
absolutely, like, no doubt. No app, yeah, no cap as the,
all shot
as the as,
all yeah, all shot, all true shot, yeah, yeah, exactly,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so I'll tell you that band off stream. So I'll say yes. But thank you guys so much for doing this, man. I really, really appreciate it.
Dude, thank you for having us, man. Yeah. It's been, I mean, like I said, man, I've been listening to y'all shit and following your podcast and just loving your content. So it's awesome to be in the same circle, I guess. It's pretty fun.
That's cool. Well, I appreciate it.
Cool guy zone, bro.
Well, all right, guys, make sure you guys, whoever's listening to this, by the time this comes out, Leshen will be out. So make sure it's less than 3 minutes. I mean, let's be honest here. It's automatically at least, it's like a baseline 7.5, and it can only go up from there. You know what I mean? I mean, like any song that's less than 3 minutes, I'm already into. Thank you guys again for doing this, and I'll say bye to you off the, I don't want to say stream or air because it's neither of those, but off the recording. So
sounds good. Thanks for having us, man.
No problem. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the True Shot Guest Spot Podcast. If you'd like to support us even further than just listening to this episode, there's a few ways you can do so. If you're on YouTube, you know all the YouTube stuff by now, like and all that nonsense. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. And if you're on Spotify, follow the podcast. And if you want to go even further than that, you can follow us over on Twitch, twitch.tv/TrueShotOfficial, where we stream Monday, and I stream solo on Saturday nights doing live reactions. And also we have a Patreon, patreon.com/TrueShotOfficial. Thank you all so much for watching and listening to this episode, and I'll see you in episode 42.